T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
As we seek some return to normalcy, this is an important day, particularly for NHL fans. Since March 12th, we have been hopeful and optimistic that by developing all options and alternatives, we could get to this point. I know I join sports fans everywhere when we say, we cannot wait for our players to hit the ice again. And I look forward to the greatest privilege of all, presenting the most storied and coveted trophy in all of sports to the captain of the 2019-20 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you. Return to normalcy.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Gary Bettman. He is Commissioner du jour. He is the most popular and wondrous commissioner in the history of sports because he's got a plan for bringing his league back, and they've discussed it. There's plenty of things that need to be done, but at least they've got a plan, and we are joined today by the great Tom Thayer filling in for David. What do you think, Tom? Are you on board mainly because the Blackhawks are included in the 24 teams that come back?
You know, I'm interested in any sports that's having the conversation about the protocol and coming back. You know, are there examples that they'll be able to take from the Korean Baseball League just for, you know, the league or, you know, the sport that tried to get going the quickest, and can they learn lessons from there? So, I'm excited about positive conversation, whether it's realistic or unrealistic. I think sports is such a big process of getting everything pointed in the right direction to get everybody ready at the same time. You have to have constructive conversation. So would you rather have all these commissioners sit and said, oh, we don't know what we're going to do. Our hands are up in the air. And then when we think about starting the process, then we'll start the process. That's unrealistic. Even if it doesn't work, you still have to have a plan in place. And, it's the hopeful for the best of the world, but, you know, the sports, you know, they have to take a direction of and their preparedness.
And the NBA is apparently – they had the general managers Zooming yesterday or whatever method of meeting – maybe they were not on Zoom. Maybe it was GoToMeeting. I don't want to be promoting one over the other, but they did have their virtual connection yesterday, and today it is the Board of Governors. Now, word is they're not going to vote today on what method they will come back, but they're going to discuss it, and they are moving forward pretty quickly. A lot of the buildings are opening up, and a lot of people are starting to work out, and we're expecting the NBA to be back sooner than later. So it is really fun that you got the NHL. They've got a lot to figure out. One of the things is where the hub will be, where the two possibilities are, one of which is Chicago, believe it or not, and Mayor Lori Lightfoot expressed great enthusiasm yesterday for the idea of the NHL coming, and she'd be a welcoming host, as would the city, so that's good news. I don't know where they're going to end up going, and I don't know how the safety protocols and all that will work. They're still figuring that out. Baseball, we know, has gotten made progress on the with their 67-page proposal on health and safety. There's still some things to work out, but the main thing to work out is the money, and we know that those talks are ongoing, and we know that they want it. Is the deadline Monday? I mean, do you have to know by June 1st if you're going to get back and up and running? At some point, if you really plan on playing in July, be it the 4th of July, the first week of July, the second week of July, don't you have to kind of get into training camp? Don't you have to sort of get players on board and in position to be wherever they need to be to do their workouts in order to prepare for a season? And they're running out of time.
Well, you know, the players have been they better have been doing that anyways, whether you're confined to your home, your yard, or whatever the case is. There's ways to stay active, to keep your body going. You know, back in the old day, Mully, before OTAs, you concluded the season, and then you weren't obligated to see your team again until the mandatory minicamp. And it was the obligation of the player to stay prepared, get prepared, and get in better shape and stronger physically during the course of that offseason. There wasn't this OTA this eye that was constantly on you. And that's one of the challenges of all professional athletes, is you got to keep your body ready. You have to stay, you know, in prepared for the next season. Once the season concludes, yeah, you give yourself a week off and then you get back into the off-season training protocol. If you got a guy that comes in and says, okay, we're ready to get things underway and we're going to give you a month to get ready. If you need more than a month to get ready, you're no good to me anyways, because you've been sitting around not really, you know, keeping that in the horizon, keeping your active level going. So if there's a player that needs more than a month, yeah, I don't want you anyways.
Well, that's interesting. I don't argue with what you're saying. And I think that staying in shape and staying, you know, game ready is one thing, but you know, I heard John Lester on The Score last weekend talking about, as a pitcher, how he gets his arm ready. And so you're in spring training and you're up and running and you're ready to go. And he was saying he needs a date in order to get his preparation in so that he's operating at maximum capacity when he comes back, and that you've got to build up things. So you don't want to be kind of throwing your arm out. I think it's a little different with pitching maybe than other positions. And you need to kind of know exactly when you're coming back in order to begin your build up process to be hitting the right stride at the right time. And that's the thing that I worry about a little bit, Tom. You know, as I said, the German Bundesliga came back, and that was nice to see. And now other soccer leagues in Europe are talking about coming back. The Bundesliga had 6 weeks to get ready for their first game. And then you're watching the first game, and it's a little sloppy. They're obviously not in playing shape in the way that you would be. And I'm talking about not just guys not being able to run forever, which is, you know, no excuse for that, but being able to kind of match with your guys, to be able to know where to go and where he's going and all that. That's the stuff that takes a little bit more. And, you know, when you think about all the off-season work, it's all about timing, isn't it, Tom? Isn't it all like these kind of timing drills?
Yeah, you know, I listened to that interview by John Lester last week, and I thought it was one of the best interviews I've ever heard of a free-speaking John Lester, because it wasn't season-specific. But
yep,
some of it I was a little disappointed in. You got to tell me a starting date, because he talked about having access to property. He's got access to a minor league a catcher that's going to go to the Dodgers system and be the bullpen catcher.
That's right.
Hey, man, go throw the ball to first base. Do the things that you need to do to improve on and keeping yourself active. It's not about being around your teammates all the time, because, Walter Payton, probably the greatest example of preparedness in the history of football. And he's not a guy that lived in the weight room. He did everything on his own. He was, you know, mentally prepared all the time, physically prepared every moment of the day, and he would be able to run these hills on his own. He would have access to weightlifting in the privacy of of his home and stuff like that. So I don't want to – I respect John Lester, but, you know, to tell me that you need a specific date when you should be – you know, going through kind of the different stages and the steps of the total preparedness during this time. And so he's had access to the things he needs. Now it's about kind of uniquely enough making sure you're prepared without some type of unrealistic time that you need that other guys don't need.
I want to get to Walter Payton because I have a question, and I'm so glad you brought that up. But I do think – it might be different for a veteran pitcher. I just worry that that's a little bit different, and I don't want to claim that he's not ready to go. What stuns me, Tom, is like when you hear that there are various guys in the NBA that only really work out at the facility. Like I think, if I'm not mistaken, one of those guys is Giannis, who could be the MVP. Giannis Antetokounmpo is a guy that lives in a high rise or something in Milwaukee. He doesn't have a hoop. So he's got a, you know, he's like the first guy in the building and the last guy to leave, but he basically wears out the practice facility. And there's been a lot of these, you know, just watching the horse competition that they did. I love that thing during the pandemic. There are guys with unbelievable setups in their yard and in their house. But if you're not living in like a country house, or like if you don't have tons of room, you don't have the same setup that other people do. And if you're, you know, relatively new to the league and you're still working on a first contract or something, you know, it's shocking to me how some guys don't have like a workout facility in their living space, and they rely so much on the building. And I imagine that there's some of that, you know, there's so many players that were living up by Conway Farms there and all that. I would imagine that if you don't have all the bells and whistles, you're just going over to the practice facility and you're using that. And when that shuts down, all of a sudden you're in a different reality.
Yeah, you know, the biggest concern for me would be for weightlifting, because when you're talking about football players, you're not going to casually ever be able to lift weights. You're going to have to go to the extreme on the different exercises, and you need qualified spotters to help you. So that would be my right one concern about the superior strength that you're always trying to achieve. And you're not going to take a 500-pound bench off without having a spotter over you in case you don't get the rep. And so, yeah, but, you know, the basketball players, in terms of having access to a hoop or a gym, it may be difficult. But, you know, there's different ways just, you know, keeping your body active. And whether it's to the confines of an apartment, or if you have a sprawling estate and a farm that you have access to plenty of property, you just got to get creative. And it's kind of funny, like, when you watch American Ninja Warrior, there are these people that don't have, you know, access to these big, expansive training systems, so they build small ones in their backyard or even inside their house. If you want it bad enough, Mully, you can do it. Because for years and generations, I've seen players in the NFL that haven't had access to great facilities, but they were able to do what they needed to do in order to be prepared.
What was the Chris Sorge story when he was like in high school? He basically took a couple of, you know, manhole covers and kind of welded them to a bar and used that to lift. I mean, I hear what you're saying. You know, I think it's amazing how people can get up and running and do different things. But it also is just shocking to me that more guys don't have that kind of set up in their house. I want to get to Walter Payton. We'll have to do that. We got Ron Coomer coming up, and we're going to talk to the Coom Dog about the various things going on in baseball and what he is witnessing as he awaits the start, hopefully, of the season. It's Mully and Haw. He is Tom Thayer. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Ron Coomer, Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
Unbelievable.
1999 American League All-Star.
You might expect Wells to mix his pattern up. I mean, Coomer has owned David Wells.
This might work out.
The Coom Dog, every week with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We have the great Tom Thayer with us today and filling in for David, and we are delighted to welcome in our friend Ron Coomer. He joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Mikey, Tommy, how are you boys doing today?
Good, Coom Dog.
We are living the dream, and today's a big day because obviously – 3 o'clock today, I believe, the El Fresco begins at Coombs Corner. Am I wrong? Is that accurate?
We are opening for business outside. Yes, we are today. So we will see what happens, right? Good old Lockport. We will. Our mayor has been very good. He's been great with all the businesses in town, and same thing with our city attorney. And they've helped us trying to all the businesses, not just us, but all the businesses trying to get back afloat. Tommy knows this as a restaurant owner. Also, it's been a trying time, and our mayor has, you know, rolled out the red carpet from the city to try to help everybody. And we are going to open up, and we're going to social distance, and let's hope that's how it goes. But that's all. I don't know how we're going to do it. We're just going to try to figure it out on the fly, I guess. Kind of like my baseball career.
There you go. Tom, you guys are doing takeaway, right? You don't have the alfresco yet?
Yes, we are. It's, curbside service, takeout, yep. And, it has changed the business. It's the new norm, but the staff is so cautious of the mask, the sanitizers provided, the way the food is prepared. So, it's been an unfortunate time, but, you know, my brother and the staff are doing the best they can, you know, trying to keep a staff in place, trying to keep them hired, trying to keep them active is, you know, has always been a goal of ours. And I actually went by my dog vet, Ernie's vet, is about a block away from Coombs Corner. So one of the highlighted driving through Lockport is always seeing that big marquee name on the side of the road, because Coom Dog, it means a lot to the residences of Lockport and the surrounding areas. It's a great place that you have, and to me, I get to see it often enough as I'm going to the vet there and back.
Thanks, Tommy. For both of us, we, you know, when you grow up, I moved out of the inner city in eighth grade and moved out to the Homer in that Lockport school district, and you were, you know, in Joliet and playing a Catholic, and for both of us, you know, it's important for the kids and the people in town, and to know that we're still part of our communities and trying to do the best for them and owning businesses and being a part. And I think it's one of those things I've always wanted to do while I was retired, is get back to town and do some things. And this has allowed me to do that and get back with our high school. And, you know, there's nothing better than high school sports and being able to go see a football game on Friday night or see a basketball game, and obviously our baseball team. And, you know, so to me, it's just fun. I'm looking forward to having our friends and family back out to our restaurant and being able to enjoy each other and a little socializing. I think we could all use a little normalcy in our life.
Yeah. I've got three teenagers here living in my house. They're my children.
And, congratulations.
But my eldest is a senior in high school, and she graduates on Sunday. And I got to tell you, it's been a very emotional time because it's all over. You know, you probably won't be back in the high school. If you do, you're going back to see a sibling in something or other. But it's such a different reality than your normal high school senior season would be. I feel sorry for anybody that had a sport that was canceled, that you know, lost that kind of a fun year where you're kind of king of the school, and now they're doing a Zoom thing, and then they're going to drive around, you know, be able to run out and take a photo and get a diploma. But it's just heart-wrenching knowing, you know, how important those days are in your own life and what that meant, the friends you had and all the rest, and not being able to see him and not being able to share that time with him. So I think it's a great point you make about especially some of the high school sports.
Terrible. I mean, all of us participated in high school sports, and to your point, Mikey, when you were a senior, you're that's the time for you to be in school. So, you know, the kids at Lockport that have missed their baseball seasons or all those spring sports seasons for the guys and girls and the activities too. It's not just baseball, but band and all these other and acting classes and all these things that have gone on. You know, I get so sport minded, but you know, there's so many things that go on in a big high school like Lockport. So I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for the teachers. They're working hard just to try to do what they can over Zoom and things like that. It's just a very difficult time. And I'm really, I can't emphasize this enough. Safety first, but I'm really ready to get back with friends and family and do some normal things. You know, how will we ever take for granted again going out and having a burger and a beer with our friends? Will we ever take that for granted again? I don't know. It's going to be a long time.
Yeah, I agree. You know, that's something that we all look forward to is the you know, getting together socially again. But, you know, even when things do get turned back to whatever the normal is, there's, you know, I think this thing has gave us a better understanding of, you know, this maybe the separation and distances we need, how often we need to simply just wash our hands or, you know, keep the environment clean around us. So, you know, that's kind of be the new norm. Coom, I wanted to ask you something about baseball, though. Because, you know, in football, we always have these measuring sticks. You know, after the third full practice, you're going to beat the soreness out of you. After the third regular season game, you should probably understand what type of team you have. What's going to be your measuring stick this year of the amount of games that these players need to be back into actual form?
Tommy, I thought about that this past weekend, and I don't know if we have a real, if we have an accurate measuring stick now with the way things have gone this year. Usually the first week of spring training, you're sore, you're standing, you know, your feet and your legs get sore because of the amount of time you're on your feet plus all the activity that you're doing. Well, this go around, you're going to need that after that week, but you know, things are accelerated so much that you've got to push through that to make sure that your arm is in shape if you're a pitcher and a position player. Your hands are, you're hitting enough to where your hands are prepared to play day in and day out. You know, and guys are doing some of that now. I know they are. I've gone past the Yankees complex, and there's quite a few guys in the Yankees complex here in Tampa that are working out on the field. I don't know if it's legal or not, but they're doing it. And, you know, good for them. You know, it's going to take a while. I really believe the first 25 games or so that are played, you're going to get a real idea of what you have because it's going to be, you know, it's not necessarily a sprint still when you're playing 80-plus games, but, boy, that first 25 games, if you get off to a really poor start or your players aren't healthy because of this whole situation, or they're just not able to perform at the level that they did because of their arms not quite prepared yet, or they've got a leg issue, or their legs aren't quite ready. You know, everything's going to be, you know, right in your face. You're going to see it right away. It's going to be one of those, it's going to be a very different situation for all the major league guys this year. Beneficial for some. I think the veterans are going to benefit from this. I think the young kids are going to have some issues with this whole scenario.
Well, I think what's fascinating is as we watch the owners and the Players Association negotiate here, I get it. I understand how important the negotiations are. But I also want to remind everyone that these are negotiations, right? So there's going to be critical things. There's going to be these moments where it looks like it's not going to work out. Again, I think the problem here is time. I understand why you go back and forth and why you want to break on this and why you don't want to give up that. And let's be honest about it. There is the larger issue out there of how you're going to handle a negotiation after 2021, which is the one that really matters, the future of the sport moving forward. So you want to be careful not to set any precedent and be careful not to create ill will. But even while we're going through all this stuff, I my recommendation, Ron, is to not get too caught up with it, because, you know, you can get angry about people arguing about money, but it's a negotiation, and this is what has to happen before you get back to play. And it's as upsetting as it is sometimes, I think that everybody actually does want to get back, and I'm hoping that that works out in that fashion.
Well, I believe it will, first of all. There's a couple things in what you said that I absolutely 100% believe in. One, you can't get insulted by offers when you're in a negotiation. It's not very easy to tell a 25-year-old that, because they haven't been through many of them. But as a business person now in my 50s, I've gone through a lot of different negotiations, whether it be baseball or other businesses. And sometimes the initial offer that you get, or the initial negotiation and numbers that are put down, are, you look and go, how in the world would they think that? Well, there's always got to be a starting point, and that's where they're at. The players did not want anything to do with that 50-50 split, so they threw it in the owner's court and said, okay, what would you be willing to pay? Well, here's what we'd be willing to pay. And then that leaked to the media. Well, the owners know that the players aren't going to accept that, and the players throw something back, and they kind of did with the, you know, the original negotiation of, you know, prorated salary. So they're going to find something in the middle. And to me, there's a couple things that matter. One, don't negotiate everything in the media. Let this thing play out a little bit. The best response for players, I really feel right now, is to let this negotiation stay behind closed doors the best you can. And talk about the good of our game and getting back on the field, and wanting to do good for the 30 million or 40 million people that are unemployed right now. To me, there's a lot bigger social issues than, you know, than baseball not being played, and we need it to be played. So let the negotiation go behind closed doors the best you can. Try to keep things quiet. I think they've done a good job, the players have, of, after the Blake Snell, you know, comments, I think they've done a good job of saying, guys, that probably wasn't the best thing to say. And now you haven't heard many of those things. The one thing you never hear the owners talking about this. Ever. They're smart enough to go, we're just not going to talk. We threw our proposal out there. You guys go ahead. So the players need to understand a little bit of that too. But it'll get done. I don't know if we'll be playing that 4th of July weekend. It may take another week and a half before this whole thing gets done. I know that has been kicked around a little bit behind closed doors, that early July may not make it, and then it may be more like July 10th or July 15th.
Okay, so, Coondog, so last week I was listening to an interview by John Lester on The Score, and we're talking about it. One of the a really free speaking John Lester outside the concerns of a regular season start or what they were going through. But he made reference to some of the things that have gone on in baseball, and he talked about, whether they want to admit it or not, the juiced baseball. So when you have a normal training camp, you kind of get into a rhythm and you know how your body's feeling, and then you pitch the ball that's given to you. So you have a shorter preparation time, and then you have some arm concerns. Will there be a difference in the baseball to kind of either create explosion from the batter's box or help the pitchers get into form?
Tommy, it's great, and it's not been talked about, and it's a great observation. But for a lot of the baseball people that have retired, me being one of them, we really paid close attention to the baseball this spring training. And I specifically remember hanging out behind the cage numerous days during spring training on the field with Sandberg, and Rhino and I were talking about the baseball. And you watch the ball come off the bat hot like it normally would off of Rizzo's bat, or Schwarber, pick any one of KB, any one of the Cubs, and then the ball didn't jump like it did the year before. So the ball has been They've let a little air out of the ball. I don't know how else to describe it. But you're not playing with a Titleist. You're playing with the Rawlings baseball. That's what's been done. So the baseball has changed back to where it was. You know, getting into the how and why all that happened, you know, everybody denies it. But when you see 175-pound little Punch and Judy left-handed hitter go deep to left field and hit an opposite field home run, and jog around the bases like, yeah, I knew it was gone. That just never happened before, and now we're seeing those guys do that. So the baseball is back to where it was a few years back, a few years ago. So the baseball will be back to normal. They might, who knows, of all years, this might have been the year to have the deuce baseball, you know, to have more excitement. I know John Lester is a really, really sharp guy, and him and I have had a lot of great conversations. But he has a baseball from one of his playoff games with the Red Sox years ago, and he's got a picture of him holding that ball in his hand and the current baseball of last year in his hand. And it was so different that you're looking like you're holding a Rawlings baseball and you're Wilson Pigskin, buddy, in his other hand. It was so different, I couldn't believe it. And hopefully now we're getting back to something that we kind of know, you know, how it's going to react off the bat and do that.
Ron, we got to get to a quick timeout. Can you stick around a little bit? There's two other things that I really wanted to talk to you about that we haven't gotten to.
You know how busy I am here. I guess so.
Yeah. I love when someone says, hey, are you
buddy.
Around? Where else would
yeah,
I be?
Right?
I'm in house arrest like everyone else. All right, hold on 1 second. We'll be right back. It's Mully and Haw. He's Tom Thayer. We've got Ron Coomer on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
If I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that?
Ah, there's Blake Snell for you. Ron Coomer joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. You're listening to Mully and Haw, and we've got Tom Thayer in. And Ron, I just wanted to get to some of this talk about the minor leaguers. And, you know, per a lot of reports now, we're seeing hundreds of minor league players released as teams are cutting costs. And we know that the minor league system is likely to be canceled as well. In fact, it's canceled. I don't think we're going to see any minor leaguers. So you got a lot of people that have spent a lot of time in baseball, and you know, you go through lists and sometimes you recognize names of guys that were drafted, but there's a lot of anonymous names. There's a lot of guys that you don't know if you're a fan of a team that are now unemployed and among the many people in America that are suffering through this thing. I just wanted to take a second to talk about those shattered dreams, because my God, that is a harsh reality.
It really is. It's a tough situation. Minor league baseball was going to take a turn and change regardless of the coronavirus here in the next year or so. The owners had talked about that, and I kind of understood their points. But then you throw the coronavirus on top of this, and now all of a sudden these kids aren't playing. And for all of us who've played professional sports, you know, not everybody just wakes up and, you know, you get drafted and go to the big leagues in a year and, you know, you become a superstar like a Mike Trout. And, you know, the whole league, or 80% of the league, is filled with guys that didn't have the ability of a Mike Trout, and they've grinded their way to get to the top of their sport. And for a lot of these kids, this is a tough situation. And what it's going to do, Mike, is it's going to get a lot of these kids are going to end up, there's still hope. It's not like it's over. It's just not going to be the same. And what I mean by that is there's a boatload of independent teams out there that are going to open their doors up to all these young kids that have been released, and they're going to play. And you're going to see minor league baseball change in the sense that there's going to be two teams, maybe three at the most for most big league ball clubs. And then these independent teams, a lot like the team that Tommy knows we have in Joliet with a beautiful stadium and great facilities. You're going to see a lot of those kids go there, and then they're going to be scouted and plucked from there by major league franchises a lot more than what it was before. but the landscape is very different. I can tell you with 100% understanding that I would have been one of those guys that would have been released at certain points in my career. You know, right at the end before I came to the big leagues, I was really on a roll and playing great baseball. Early in my minor league career, I was having knee surgery after knee surgery. I would have for sure been one of those kids released. So you got to keep grinding. You got to keep playing. It's going to change. The landscape's changing. But, you know, there was one thing I always went by as a professional athlete, and I do, don't take no for an answer. The word no has to be crumbled up and thrown out of your vocabulary if you're a ball player or whatever the case may be, and you just got to grind through it and figure it out. And it's going to be a lot tougher to figure out right now, but it can be done. But I really feel for a lot of those young kids.
Well, Coom, you know, when you look at a guy like Scott Boras, who's representing the richest of the rich in Major League Baseball, what do you think about the message that he's putting out there? Is it a pro or a con for Major League Baseball? Because it does affect some of the younger players that he will eventually represent. But is it? What do you think his message is saying?
I have mixed feelings about his message, to be honest with you. He does represent the top, you know, probably 10% of our league. All of his guys that are in the big leagues, so he represents the cream. So most of his comments are directed towards that. And our players union has negotiated through the years, Tommy, basically negotiating for the top 5% of our game, and that's the way it's gone. And the way they've talked about it is what that does is it just brings up all of the salaries along with the top end. Well, and they've given more to the first-year guy and the draft kid, our union has, and then left those middle people kind of hanging there a little bit, and that's kind of how the negotiations have gone. So I have mixed feelings about what Boras says. You have to understand he is definitely negotiating right now for his own players. That's what he's doing. And some of the things... You know, I don't begrudge Tom Ricketts for trying to make as much money as he can. You know, so to call people out like he did with Tom, hey, Tom's a businessman and he's trying to make as much as he can. The players are trying to make as much as they can. As Mikey was talking about earlier, it's a negotiation, you know, but to label somebody the bad guy because they're a good business person, to me, I think is a little unfair. And, you know, you just got to understand what are the interests of some of the people talking? And that's the way I look at it with Boras. You know, he's always talking in the interest of his, you know, 70 players that he's representing, period.
I want to talk to you about how you put a team together if indeed this ends up being a season, let's say it's an 82-game season. Let's say you've got a 30-man roster and a 20-man taxi squad. How do you cover your team with the 20-man practice squad? How do you make sure you have players that are ready to step in and ready to go while also being concerned about the development of your younger players? You know, if you have a Brennan Davis, a Braylon Marquez, or Miguel Amaya, do they have to be on that 20-man roster because you can't develop them in a minor league system? Do you worry about that sort of thing, the future of your team, or are you just concerned with those 82 games? And, you know, Nico Horner's an easy decision. He's definitely going to be either on the team or on that 20-man taxi squad. But some of these guys, I don't know if they quite belong in that taxi squad, but you probably want to get them seasoned.
You definitely want to have them seasoned. You want them to be around. You want them to be a part. So for the young kids that probably aren't big league ready, but they're going to be around, and for no other reason, it's going to give the coaching staff and the extended coaching staff that you're going to have in Chicago a chance to work with these kids. Because if you don't, Mike, they're sitting at home. They're not doing anything. There's no minor league season. So they're going to be able to play inter-squad games. They'll be able to do things in the mornings if they're not going to play that night at Wrigley. So the coaching staffs are going to have their hands full, and I would expect that there'll be a lot more coaches. The minor league coaches or some of those roving instructors will be brought to Chicago to help with, you know, all the players. So those minor league kids that are prospects that are a couple years away will be around, I'm sure. And then the way you set up a team, my thoughts on that are pitching first. All these young kids that can pitch, I believe the bullpens are going to be a rotating bullpen of the young kids. If you pitch, let's say one day and one of the starters goes short and you bring in one of these kids to throw three innings, he's going to be sent back down the next day and you're going to rotate another one in. And as the season progresses, as you get to 40, 50 games, you're going to have a better idea of who your real roster is going to be. But I think you're going to bring in a lot of bullpen arms, and it's going to look like September call-up time. And you're going to see different kids on that roster day in and day out to try to provide some kind of help for the back end of the bullpen and the middle of the bullpen. And then you're going to see some odd situations, like you're going to see a guy who's never going to hit, but maybe he can really run and he's going to be on your roster as a speed guy like we used to see maybe back in the 70s. So there's going to be some different scenarios that you're not accustomed to seeing of guys on a roster.
Hey Ron, thanks a ton. Okay. I'm sorry, Tom.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
Okay, I just wanted to thank Ron for joining us. That's it.
Thank you, Ron.
Guys, it's always great. We're going to be on again this Sunday, Zach and I, and we got Tommy on our final hour. So you and I are kind of flip-flopping roles, Tommy, this weekend. So I look forward to that on Sunday, and we got White Sox Hall of Famer and Cleveland Hall of Famer Jimmy Thome on this Sunday afternoon.
Oh, great.
So look forward to talking to you again, Tommy. It's been great every weekend with Zach, Zach's Aidman. So look forward to that. Boys, have a great weekend, all right?
You too. Stay safe, Ron. Thank you. Boy, how come no one ever wants me on, Tom? Huh? Like you're like this special guest star everyone gets crazy for. Coom Dog, who doesn't want to talk to him? Mulligan, it's like, yeah, we've heard enough of that idiot.
Hey, ever since The Last Dance, you've reached a plateau that none of us have, and so, you know, I know you're one of the special guests.
Oh, boy, that is exhausting. Tom, you're a champion. Thank you, buddy. Really appreciate you sitting in this morning. A lot of fun. You're a great man to get up and go into a garage for us.
Thank you, Molly. I had a good time.
Yeah, we did too. Everyone with the show, including me. We want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing. And most of all, we appreciate you listening. It means a lot to us, and thank you for doing that. Want to thank our executive producer, Dustin Rhodes.
Just listen to the guy sitting right next to you in the studio, Molly.
Thank you, Zach. And Kevbo. Boy, Kevin Zipek's a special kind of guy.
I had a chance to meet with Jay 10 years ago in a hotel room in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Oh, my God. That guy was the head coach of the Bears. Ray, you're the best. Thank you, Ray. We appreciate you always.
Carlos Santos.
And again, thanks to Tom and thanks to everyone. It's have a great weekend. It's Molly and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of The Score.
Segment brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
If it is to be said, so it is.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.